Hi and welcome to Dynamics Update. Today, meaning me and Gustav, of course.
Hello.
Hi, Gustav.
Hello.
We actually have a guest. We have a guest from Microsoft this time. Hi, Rachel. Could you please introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Well, hello, everyone, and thanks, Johan and Gustav, for having me on today. My name is Rachel Proffitt, and I am a principal program manager at Microsoft, and I've been with Microsoft for 3.5, going on 4 years, but I've been working with Dynamics 365 for more than 20 years now, so going back to DamGuard Xapta version 2.5. So I've been around the sun a few times in my career with this cool little ERP system that we all know today as Dynamics 365.
Doing complicated stuff, right?
Yeah, complicated stuff. Trying to figure out how to make it easier for everyone else, though.
That's a good selling point. Yeah, yep, that's great. That's good. And I mean, one of the main reasons, apart from just having you on here, is the ongoing work that you do, but the ongoing Tech Talk series. I remember when we spoke on LinkedIn, you have a series regarding processes and like the guidance hub, and a lot of material coming out from you guys regarding business processes end to end. So we're going to hopefully dive into that subject a lot. But I asked you on LinkedIn because I said, well, maybe we can do the recording once you're done, because I only knew that you were doing 5 then. But it turns out you guys are like never stopping. You have like 18 of those planned, or how many? How many do you have?
The list just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So we 5 have been finished and recorded as of today. And last week we announced that we're adding 3 more to our general series, and the dates are planned for those. And then we're also working on selecting dates for 1 tech talk for each of the end-to-end business processes. And so there's 15 end-to-end business processes. So 5 plus 15 plus 3 means we'll have 23 tech talks. And by the end of it, I'm sure that I will have added 5 more to the series. So
yeah, and then you've done changes.
It's kind of never ending.
Yeah, that's
so I guess you thought I'm going to win tech talks. Yeah. No one is going to have more than I do.
Absolutely. You know, I even took the entire year off of Tech Talks last year. Like, I don't think I, well, maybe I did 1 or 2, but like, by and large, we'll say that I took it off. And so I was like, I'm going to need to get back on this so that I stay as the leader. Because a couple years ago, you might remember the biggest series of Tech Talks that had ever existed before. It was a 12-part series on using the Power Platform to extend finance and operations. So now I'm this whole business process thing. I think, right, eventually I could go ahead and just have like 1 tech talk for every single business process. So, you know, there's 700 of those.
Yeah. I mean, it's never ending. It's like our podcast. There will be a new update every single, like every second month or so, there will be things to talk about. So it won't be a problem.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it is never ending, though. Like, if you think about what Dynamics 365 is all about, like, and organizations who are implementing ERP or CRM, everything that the software and technology that we're building is all technology and software that supports organizations' business processes. Like 100% of it is all just about business processes. So everything we do should have a business process focus. And the way we approach our implementations should have a business process focus. You know, we wrote a chapter, it's probably been 4 or 5 years. It was before I joined Microsoft, in our implementation guide, right? It used to be a big PDF, 800 page, like really beautiful, like downloadable PDF. And one of the chapters in there was like chapter number 7, pretty close to the beginning, is all about process focused solutions. And like it's like preaches that you should, all implementation should have a process focus to their, you know, technology solutions. And we tell you that you should have a business process catalog, and that you should gather requirements like related to your business processes. And like, you should do all these things. But the part of the problem or challenge, right, is that we've never really offered a catalog. We kind of had one in the business process modeler inside of LCS for F&O that was built on APQC.
Yeah.
And a lot of partners rolled their own as well using that tooling. And as you may or may not be aware, LCS is being deprecated. It's going away. And we're moving all of that functionality, by and large, out of LCS and into the Power Platform Admin Center, or we lovingly refer to it as PPAC.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the pieces, you know, from LCS that we're trying to figure out, like, what do we do with it, is the business process modeler. And what's interesting is business process modeler is not just a business process modeler. It's also like this weird link to integrate into Azure DevOps.
Yeah.
And it's also this weird link for regression suite automation testing. Yes. And it's also this weird link for online help in the application.
Yes.
And so replacing that means we have to rethink, what do we do with all of those different pieces and where should it land and what does it look like? So we're working on our functional design and specification right now to figure all of that out. And, you know, we're not just trying to do a rip and replace and take exactly what we have today, because we know that it had issues and didn't really meet all the requirements. Although there's plenty of partners out there who use it very heavily, it was still missing a number of things to really be useful to every organization.
Yeah, and I think my experience with BPM is it's a lot of projects have it as a missed opportunity because it can do so much. It's a really helpful tool. And I mean, just using it, my experience is using it a lot in the implementation phase, but then it becomes kind of hard to sell. You still need to maintain your processes here. Okay, where do I do that? No, I have my Visio over here and that's going to be good enough for me. So I think implementation is one thing. It's quite, I hope at least most projects do process-driven, that you need to understand what you're actually trying to achieve. Now with what you guys have, it makes it much easier. The main question is, okay, how does the system work? Nowadays, as opposed, I also worked with AX since 3.0, so maybe not 2.5, but it used to be like, okay, this is, we install, how do you guys work? Okay, we're going to fine-tune, install this system so it works for you guys. Nowadays, rather, the question is okay, how does the system work? And then how much do we adapt to how the system and the process works? That's a major shift. And I think what you are doing and your team is doing is helping that a lot, getting that material out, just being able to import it into DevOps, which is a very, very nice feature, helps that a lot.
Yeah, I've got some big high hopes and dreams for our Azure DevOps integration. Obviously, it's pretty, I would describe it as maybe pretty immature right now. Like, it's just an Excel, CSV file that you can download and upload into Azure DevOps, which is still light years ahead of where we were before. And we're using a lot of the same principles of, you know, the use of Azure DevOps that we use internally. And we refer to it as ISD, which is our Industry Solutions Delivery Team, which used to be known as MCS, which was Microsoft Consulting Services. We love our acronyms here at Microsoft. Yeah,
I haven't noticed.
So I think learning, trying to kind of learn from what they do and their template and mapping those things into the template that we're publishing out externally, I think is really key. And we're working very closely with them. The initial layout and design actually came from their Azure DevOps template. And we're working on enriching it right now. So we're going to take a phased approach, by each end to end, but we're mapping in all of their configuration work items and all of their test cases, which I think that's going to be a game changer for people. Yeah. Especially every project is doing this over and over and over. And it's the configuration work items that have to be done for every project, it's the same. Why are we reinventing the wheel
all over again
every single time? And so that's one thing. And then I think the test cases, obviously every business is going to have their own uniqueness and they're going to need to tweak it. But I think giving the user a starting point on a test case is going to give them and the basic steps that you already have to do that process in the system. Again, the amount of time that's going to save in the implementation, I think is like, it's exciting for me. Like I'm like, I obviously can't put a number on it. And I think it's one of the difficult things to measure because it's like, how do you measure like how much faster something is that like a specific customer has never done before?
But it also depends a lot on the maturity of the organization that you're working with, right? I mean, that's a very common case right now. How do we invent the testing process? Okay, what is a test case? How do you connect it? If you at least just one test case, just one happy flow, that saves a lot of time because this is how they do it. It's we can do it the same way, and instead of like trying to figure that out from scratch, I think that's a real time saver. Depending on the maturity, of course. Sorry.
Yeah, I also think that. I might be wrong here, but I think you're a bit sneaky in the fact that I've been talking about this for a while because in AX 2012, business processes was almost always more or less custom. And what you're doing with, especially if you're going to start living test cases for your end-to-end processes, what you're doing is that you're actually encouraging customers to choose the standard process, at least to evaluate it. Because what I'm trying to get people to understand is that every time you change, you tweak a business process so that you have to tweak the system, you incur a cost. And if you don't make any money of that tweak, then it's just a cost. I totally agree. If you can tweak the process in a way that makes you more profitable, then I don't see a problem. Then tweak away, by all means. But if the tweak is just because we have always done it this way, or we have never done it this way, in that case, it's just a cost.
Yep. There's no value add to the business.
No.
Right? It doesn't necessarily, to your point, like it doesn't necessarily have to increase sales, but it has to map to an actual business goal.
Exactly. I say cost because I'm simplifying things, but a cost could be, I mean, a benefit could be happier employees. It could be everyone needs a smaller desk because they don't need as much paper on the desk or whatever. It might be anything, but I mean, I map it down to dollars. And in that case, if you don't make any dollars, then you shouldn't spend any dollars.
No, exactly. I mean, it's the classic TCO everyone loves. Speaking of abbreviations, the TCO, I think you can make a pretty reasonable calculation in Excel, like the amount of customizations times something something equals your, it will increase your TCO at least, especially now if people are actually going to govern their process, which I hope it will increase a lot. So that might be a cost you're willing to take. And it's easier, of course, if you can map it to profitability. But as you say, I more enjoy the ones where you can say that you save time or you make people's work better so that they can focus on other stuff, thereby making. But that's always harder to track. We want to spend less time being the soul sucked out of us working. We want to have fun when we do work. That's the main
point. I would like to add to what you're saying, Gustav, because you are almost right in that you're saying the amount of customizations time the amount of dollars per customizations, but you need to add an extra parameter. You need to add multiplied by time as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Because for every single month you are running the system, the cost will increase.
Yeah.
It's not like you build it and then it's finished, because for every line of code you need to maintain it. You have technical debt that we need to handle as well.
Absolutely. And I think one reflection here is that the podcast that we do here started out as kind of a way to summarize the release notes to make things easier, because there's so much coming from the old days with AX. The information was there, but it was either sparse or hard to reach, or you had to go through some other portal, customer source, partner source. Now there's a lot of information, too much information, so it's hard to digest for anyone working in the field. And I think we need to add another what's new here to the podcast. Speaking of processes, I mean, just the mention here of test cases, I think we need to look at your release notes. Do we have an ETA on those, et cetera, so we can look at where you guys are on the timeline? Because it does drive a lot of important considerations. You can solve a problem in a business process a number of ways. You can spin up 20 logic apps to solve a specific performance-related problem. But if your problem is you're trying to fight against the system from the beginning, then, well, in the end, you're just going to have to throw more complex stuff at it rather than going back to and understanding what are you trying to achieve based on the standard process.
Yeah. In terms of our release notes for business process guides, we've been in more of a reactive or historical, I guess I don't know how to describe it. We're not like telling people like or putting out a specific roadmap like we do for the product that says, here's what we're planning to release over the next however many months. Unless you just like attend one of these cool things where I kind of give people a sneak peek into it. But each release that we put out, we have been trying to publish, like, what did we change? What did we add? So it's kind of more like as we do it. And I think part of that is because I am working with a volunteer-based organization here called Microsoft and the Microsoft community. So like everyone who has written articles to date is basically writing articles in their air quote free time. Like everybody who's written an article has a day job as well here at Bankersoft, and you know, all of the partners, and like, so it's largely just based on their availability. So I don't really have like a plan that says we're going to write X, Y, and Z, and it's like part of their job to write so many articles. You know, we do have goals for sure, I think. And there's some kind of rough outlines of when we think we might be able to have things done, but anything can change based on the availability. And I think some of it too depends on how much the community rallies around this and contributing to what we're developing. Especially now, like getting these tech talks done was a huge, huge milestone for us, because I can't expect the community to participate if they don't know how.
No.
The next really big milestone in getting that community engagement is going to be like our Credly badging. So we're introducing Credly badging, and we're working with designers right now on a new badge. And like just little sneak peek, you know, drop here. We're developing our own mascot.
Oh, really?
Yes, for this badge. So like, do you know how awesome Ninja Cat is?
Yep.
We're making our own for Dynamics. Really? Not Ninja Cat, though.
I no. see swag in the future.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. There's going to be swag. I guarantee it.
Yeah. That's really, I think the use of badges is really, that's like a key driver here for a lot of people. Like, oh, I can get a badge. I'm going to write an article. But if you haven't listened to the Tech Talk, I mean, I implore you, anyone listening to this podcast here, to reach out or to look at them from Tech Talk YouTube, because you are asking the community. That's one of the main points here as well, to contribute. I mean, like pretty much open sourcing. It's Wikipedia for Dynamics, right? But in a more structured fashion.
Yeah. I made an AKA link to make this super easy for people to go find. So it's aka.ms/, wait for it, Business Process Tech Talks.
Very simple. aka.ms, Business Process Tech Talks. That's as long as you spell process right, you can't miss it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think like that page just keeps getting updated as we publish new tech talks. So like if you bookmark that one, as we add the 15 to 20 more tech talks to this series, like just keep going back to that page, because it'll get you to all the recordings. It'll like, we're going to make a couple more updates to that page as well to make it a little bit easier to navigate to all the different resources that we have. But that is a great landing place to go, you know, find all those tech talks and kind of get started.
It's really great. Yeah, I watched the live one last week, the part 5 one. It's really informative. And I think, I mean, looking at the material that you guys have, it's pretty daunting. It's so much. It's so many patterns. But if you approach it from an implementation point, you very often have a narrow, like a question. I want to understand procure to cash. I want to understand a specific set of process in a better fashion. Or I am proficient in this. So looking at all the material is probably not the right way to go, but looking at, okay, where can I contribute? And I really need to understand how this process works better. then maybe zoom into that one. It makes it easier. At least for me, it did. Like going into all of them at once, it's just too much.
Yeah, I agree. Like if you try to like just consume a 2,000 row spreadsheet, it's too much. So I love your tip of like filter it down, like pick just one end to end that you want to focus in on. And even within there, like knowing that it's organized like a hierarchy, right? Yeah. You can kind of like drill down to the different levels. You know, we're adding profiling to the Dynamics 365 implementation portal for customers and partners to be able to use to profile their projects. So you'll actually be able to go check mark, like which ones apply to your particular project. And then we're looking at adding like an integration into the implementation portal so that you can click a button to export it all to Azure DevOps, like your own Azure DevOps, and it would just take the slimmed down version of it instead of the whole entire thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's a pain point for people. Like if you want to import the whole entire thing, you have to split it out into multiple files. But I think somebody may have gone out into our, I know they did. Somebody went out and put some like a guidance article out there on how to automate it. Like the file manually splitting it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, you're not going to start. I mean, you need to start at least with a basic understanding of what you're trying to achieve. And from that, then you can maybe look at it. Otherwise, building the Contoso environment here, covering everything might be doable, but that's just for practice. I mean, in the real life.
Think it's like partners who maybe like want to take the whole thing and then like enrich it further to like put other details on it, like that sort of thing, which makes total sense, right? But you know, we're definitely going to be adding more columns and more things into that template as we go on to make it hopefully easier for people to kind of plan their projects. I think like we've got pillars of work across every single phase of a project. And I'm very much like start at the ground, you know, and work our way up to like more complicated concepts. But there's definitely like, you know, that concept of, you know, like or desire maybe is a better word to drive to like the cool, exciting stuff like process mining, which is like at the tail end of the project. But it's like, okay, guys, like we have to have a good foundation. We can't pick out the wallpaper for the house when we don't even have walls. Like,
exactly. It's all about the classic. It's classic fit gap. It's a fit gap analysis on a process level because you need to understand how the daily process works today to realize how much either you need to adapt or you mentioned, you want to find the secret ingredient that actually makes our process a little bit better for us. Mm-hmm. But now at least you guys have given us like one end of that equation, because that's been missing a little bit. I would say we have, as you say, BPM has been there, but now it's much more digestible, I would say, from our perspective, to answer that question that at least I get a lot. Like, okay, how does Microsoft want this to work in a standard process and a standard system? And I mean, we can demo it, but being able to just go into that, at least on GitHub as well, you have the PowerPoint templates with the process flows. That's also a very, very good, nice point to have. I know you can import Excel if you filter out your specific process. You can import it into Visio and you can kind of build your own flowchart. But here you can really just put it down, walk through the material, and at least start the discussion of the process, not from a blank slate. And I think that will help out a lot in making people understand, okay, this is how we do it in standard, and this is how we do it. I think the differences aren't that great in many cases. It's just that they feel very, very great without being able to see them.
So I have a question here. Strange, but what I'm thinking here is that since you're going to collect community feedback on the processes and such, because that was one of the points that you pressed on in the tech talk, that the lower down the process documentation we get, the more interested we are in understanding the processes. So what I'm thinking is, will that also mean that the changes in business processes will eventually trickle down to the product group and maybe even affect how the product works? I mean, if we have a customer that says that this process doesn't make sense, this is not how it's done, would that mean that maybe that will trickle down to the product group and maybe result in development that makes the product more supporting of the changed process?
Absolutely. I think that like having this like process catalog and like creating awareness around business processes opens up this like new path, this new opportunity for us to kind of identify like where we have opportunities to improve our product by business process. I think right, it provides more opportunity for ISVs, right, to kind of understand where we have white space, where we don't fill something or we don't do something well. You know, in addition to the like, what are we missing or what doesn't make sense in our out of the box approach. But we're also taking a look inward with this process journey, like, because really, and one of the things that, you know, we talk about is like, well, we tell our customers to use a process focus to their implementations. And that includes any customizations. And so we're taking that look inward to kind of figure out how do we take a process focus to our own engineering so that the new things we develop are centered around a business process. It becomes less about products and features. Like, we're not developing features. We're developing a new way to do a business process, yeah, or we're enabling a particular business process that we did not before. And I think that tells a much more comprehensive story. That's it makes it easier for sales teams, right, to help sell the products. It's easier for businesses to drive value. Like, if you have that process focus and we know what are the KPIs that people normally monitor, I think there's a lot of work to be done that can help support these, like building like the library of KPIs and ways that we measure and monitor a process. You know, obviously that process mining data. I think one of the things that we're looking at internally is like, how do we make our application process aware? Like,
yeah, so where am I at?
Everything in Dynamics is about forms and clicks and buttons and menu items and whatever. And like, that's not a business process, that's a system process. Yeah. So like, how can we make the system process aware? And I think when we answer that, then we're going to unlock this whole new opportunity of process mining and process monitoring for organizations that takes it to the next level. And I think then it's like, we also like think about like copilots, right? Copilots are all the craze right now.
Yeah.
But it's like, how can we create a copilot that actually helps consultants implement Dynamics 365 and helps customers implement like using natural language in a way that makes sense? And like, I do see a world in the future where our documentation and all these resources that we're building out become the foundation for a copilot to be able to ask it and do natural language things, which I think is going to take us to that next level even of how do we like make implementations go faster. One question I get asked a lot is like, you know, but what does this mean for the partner? Like, it sounds to me like you're taking the partner job away. And I'm like, no, like, I'm just changing like what the partner needs to focus on. Like, I'm making consultants more valuable more quickly. And if we want to like take over the market and like expand and get Dynamics 365 in like a million more companies, like, we have to figure out how to go faster, go better, go more consistent. But I think it also like frees up consultants to not like, you don't need to know about customer groups, right? Like,
no, but there's been like a shift there. That's a very good point. And that's a good point. We discussed it before.
Profiles in, yeah, Dynamics 365. Like, sure. Like, it lets you focus on things that actually matter to a business, right? And it goes back to your point at the beginning, right? Like, it's just cost.
Yeah. The thing is, what you're actually doing is that you're creating the map.
Yeah.
You're telling the consultants where the roads are and where the forks in the road are, and, yeah, they need to take the fork. They don't need to build a new road. They need to get to a full
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Need to get out and kayak across the Pacific Ocean.
That's where logic apps come in.
I love that analogy. So perfect.
So the thing is that I have been trying to sort of push this point to, especially to my colleagues. When you look at Microsoft, you have a lot of different software solutions. I mean, almost everyone at Microsoft uses Windows, which means that you get a lot of internal feedback from Windows. And almost everyone at Microsoft uses Office, so you get a lot of internal feedback on Office. Not very many people at Microsoft uses F&O, for instance, meaning that you don't have the business connection. You have the developer connection. You're building the system, but you're not necessarily using it. Because I've been working in infrastructure before, and I've talked to other MVPs that have been working with the product groups, and they have very often heard from product group people, so this is my functionality. I built this, so people are actually using it. they are sort of have a disconnect between how people in the real world is using, and that was sort of why I hinted to that when in my previous questions, that this is also a way for you to understand how the system is actually being used.
Yeah. I think we trying to figure out like how we can emit telemetry by business process. Right. And it's one of the things that we're trying to technically figure out on the back end. Like, how can we make that's what I mean when I say, how can we make Dynamics 365 process aware? Yeah. But then like being able to take that telemetry and use it, right? Use it for our own planning, allow customers and partners to use it to understand where do you have a gap in what you said you wanted to do and what you're actually doing. And then how do I get that data into process mining so you can actually visualize and optimize your process?
Yeah.
And so there's a to-do list that's like a million miles long, it feels like, to make that dream a reality. But it's certainly something that's top of mind for me and that my team is trying to figure out how to make that technically feasible in a scalable way. Cause I can do it for one process, right? And you could do it for one process, but when you multiply that by 700-800 processes with 2000 plus patterns, like the list of patterns is growing every day, like that's not scalable, right? And so it's super important that whatever solution we come up with has to be scalable.
Yeah.
I mean the map needs to exist in the product as well. Not just in the hub. So you should be able to do that. I have one wish.
And you have a wish.
I have a wish.
Well, I'm a genie, so you get three.
Yeah, that's why
process genie.
So the thing is that as I mentioned before, I come from an infrastructure background. So I'm actually quite bad at F&O. I don't understand business processes and I don't understand accounting and whatever.
That's where I come in.
Yeah, that's where Gustav Quinn. I always call him and ask him. But yeah. What I'm thinking is there are, even though you think that there needs to be better processes, but there are, and all, even though there is some processes for, I mean, a lot of the financial and supply chain and retail way of working, I would wish to have the same kind of process support, having the application process aware for the system management parts, because like that is
administrative processes.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, are you familiar? We added administer to operate in the most recent version of our catalog. Have you had a look at it?
No, I didn't. So that's a really good thing. I will definitely
administer to operate. I think might be the answer to what you're looking for. So administer to operate is like all of those system administrative things. And some of them are like things that sit outside the system. Mm-hmm. So one of our areas in administer to operate is like deploying, right? The system. Yep. But it also has things like business continuity planning, and it also has things like training and adoption, right? So it has all the other things that you need to support the system. And one of them is like the dumping ground, if you will, for all the other like weird system admin functions that exist in our system that are purely system administration. So there's like, it's I literally think it's called administer system features.
I am looking forward to the time when you have a move configuration process that is in place.
That's the specific one you want, move configurations?
One of them.
Like between environments?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Because I have a dream here, and that would be that the configuration is part of the deploy for the system. So when you deploy customizations, you also deploy configuration. And it would have been fantastic if there was system support for being able, for instance, to say, so all of these configuration tables are configuration. When we move code from UAT to production, move the configuration as well. Because we have moved it from test to UAT. We have tested it there. We treat it as a package, and then we just kick it up to production.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
That's your dream.
That's a dream. That's my dream. Wish number two. you got your first wish, I think, with the administer to operate package, right? So the other
I'll
wish.
I'll see what I can do.
Great. I just kept
on wishing. I do know a few people. Yeah, it's really good feedback. I mean, even if we write an article that describes the manual process that we have today, like for moving configurations between environments. And obviously the story is very different between FNO and CE on this one.
Yeah,
right?
I understand.
It's like FNO, we tell people to use gold environments, but in CE, we tell you no, and they have a much more automated way.
And I mean, one of the issues that we have is that everything is in the same database. I mean, the configuration and the business data is in the same database. Otherwise, it would be fairly simple to move the configuration database up to a new environment, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So, yes, I think that we need to be wrapping up because we have done 40 minutes. Normal, we do 30. So that's a good sign. We have had things to talk about.
I would like to add, just before we go, that's one of the aspects as well, that when we get new releases to the business process documentation, you kind of saved us, me and you, one as well, because we were wondering how we would cope with the fewer releases of FNO now coming up. So now we can also add business processes, and thereby we can actually do more podcasts. Hopefully we can do some more process analysis, so hoping to get you back maybe sometime later on in the year.
You're welcome. I didn't personally have anything to do with that, but you're welcome.
and I also would like to think that I was very happy when I heard that you have an RSS feed connected to it. So that makes it a lot easier to subscribe to your area of expertise and understand exactly what is being changed. That's also cool.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think as we like plan to do things in the actual software, you'll get more traditional like product release notes, but the documentation itself, like I think to your point, If you're interested in it, like visit the guidance hub. It's aka.ms/oneguidance and subscribe to the RSS feed so you get notifications every time we make updates.
Very good point. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Rachel.
Thank you, Johanna and Gustav for inviting me. It was my pleasure to join you today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.